You're listening to Bounce Back Behavior, the show with Nakisha Michelle and Robin Denise, only on LA Talk Radio.
Beautiful people, you are tuned into Bounce Back Behavior, your weekly seat at the healing table where truth meets transformation. And I'm your host, Nakisha Michelle, the queen of the bounce back, and baby, baby, baby. Today's conversation is going to be one of those deep tissue. You can take it either way you want, deep tissue in your body, or you need some deep tissues to wipe your eyes. Healing moments. Are you ready?
Oh, child, I'm ready. I'm ready. What up, everyone? It is Robin Denise, your favorite guru and spiritual baddie. And let me just say, my mind went in the gutter when you said deep tissue, how, whatever way you want to take it. I was like, wait a minute, where are we going?
I'm not dealing with you today, Robin Denise. Izzy Key, are you here?
I'm always here. Hey, I'm Izzy Key, your K-pop correspondent with the Black Girls Lens. I'm super happy to be back. I haven't been on like two shows, so it's great to be back.
All right. So I'm excited to get a little catch up to see what's been going on. But I first got to jump in and say, I want to give a shout out to Izzy for finally getting the courage to take her driver's learning permit test and homegirl passed without her mama. So listen, if you are in Southern California or the Bay Area, wear your seatbelt and increase your
heart. Now, calm down.
Izzy is on
the road. Not too much now. But I am very, it was on the dream, was a dream board of 2025. So we're checking things off.
Yes. Don't it feel good to check stuff off, Izzy? I love that feeling. My ADHD gets so much pleasure from checking something off.
Exactly. It's like, oh, wait, I'm moving around a lot, but I'm actually also accomplishing things at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Congratulations.
Robin. Thank you.
You're welcome, boo.
Robin Denise, what you been up to?
I went to Pattaya in Thailand. Mm-hmm. And actually I ended up having an interesting conversation with an expat, which is about today's, what is it called? Inappropriate question. So I'm gonna hold that a little bit longer till we get there.
Okay. Izzy Key, what you been up to?
Let's see. I just came back from about a week-long conference with Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, which is the first Black Greek letter sorority. So that was super fun. I'm the president of my chapter, so I've been very busy just getting everything organized and making sure all my sisters had a good time.
Absolutely. I was there with Izzy and it was just so amazing. It was my first leadership conference and it was just so amazing to catch up with sorors, our sisters, and be there with Izzy. And then we got some powerhouse first, because you know we're the first and the finest. So we got some
power. Oh my gosh.
Honorary first. Okay. Honorary first. Powerful women who are our new sorors. Izzy, do you have that list up of our new sorors? I just want to give a shout out. Let me see if I can find them because I want to make sure I say their names correctly.
Well, as the only Delta on the show, surrounded by these Akkas.
I did not know this information. What?
Y'all might have been the first and, as you say, the finest. But how about some of my founders left y'all to start DST because we wanted education and sisterhood and movement forward. But, you know,
okay,
we ain't talking about history.
Okay, 1913 on the call too.
Oh my goodness. Oh goodness. Okay, so let's shout out to our new sorors, Laura Coates, CNN's chief legal analyst and anchor, the first African American woman to hold this role. Karine Jean-Pierre, or Jean Pierre, the first Black person and longest-serving woman to serve as White House press secretary. Beverly Johnson, supermodel and best-selling author, actress and entrepreneur, and the first Black woman on the cover of Vogue magazine. And my girl, Gabby Thomas, Olympic medalist and the first Ivy League graduate to win an Olympic track and field medal. So I just want to give a shout out to our new sorors who are the first.
Before we move on to the next segment, congratulations to Robert Denise as well for your new honorary members coming on in.
Oh yeah, they got Queen
Queen
Latifah.
Latifah, Danielle Brooks.
Yeah.
Lots of great members. So congratulations as well.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Izzy, shout out to you for exemplifying sisterhood across the different sororities. I
Of
appreciate
course,
that.
Greek unity.
Yes. Even though I tried to give y'all shade, just a little bit.
Divine nine, baby. We are the divine nine. It does not matter, right?
It doesn't.
I love it. So,
all right.
Go ahead.
It is time for today's inappropriate question. And you know, as your favorite guru and spiritual baddie, I'm going to ask those things that make us think through the myths, the mess, and the mindset shifts that we are here to really focus on. And so today's question is, real talk, when you're traveling in a country where you're not supposed to flush the toilet paper, do you follow the rule or risk it all and hope for the best? The question again is, when you're traveling in a country where you're not supposed to flush the toilet paper, do you follow the rule or risk it all and hope for the best?
I want to say I am guilty because I do stuff like have, well, first, let me just say this. If you are listening and you want to answer this inappropriate question that Robin Denise has proposed for us and to us today, right here on Bounce Back Behavior, please feel free and call in at 323-203-0815. Again, that number, 323-203-0815. So let me tell you, I got these, shout out, they're not paying us for this, but I'm going to share this. I got the new wash and feminine napkins, or what do you call it? The tissue-like ones. What are they called?
I don't know, but we picking up what you're putting down. Keep going.
But you tell you they're not flushable. And so all in Africa, I was like, I don't have time to be putting these things in a waste basket and hoping something. No, I just flushed them. And they say don't flush, but I flushed them. And hopefully I didn't tear up their little sewer system, but I'm the one that will flush. I can't. I just can't. I'm sorry. I can't.
What about you, Izzy? What'd you think?
I think I'm too much of a goody two shoes, and also I have anxiety a lot. So I'm like, if I do this, I could mess up a lot of things. So I just don't. Just grab a third in the trash or do something. I don't think I would flush it down.
Robin Denise, are you over there tearing up the Thailand septic tanks? What are you doing over there?
Listen, okay, so remember I said I was in Pattaya and I was talking to another expat, and one of the things was this topic of like putting the toilet paper in the thing, and I had never even considered not really doing that. And here's the thing, like the conversation is past toilet paper. It's really about how we move through the world when the rules are already written for us. It's about like those structures that shape our choices before we even realize we have any. And that's what I realized when I was talking to this person, when they were like, I throw the toilet paper in the trash, I mean, in the toilet and flush it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think you're supposed to do that. You're not supposed to do that. And I had this moment of like, but wait, am I doing this because I agree with this societal rule, or is it because I didn't even realize I had a choice? You know what I mean? It's like, it's not, I'm not encouraging people to disrespect or disregard cultural norms. It's not about that. It's really about recognizing the metaphor that there are these unspoken expectations, the code of behaviors, the invisible rules that we're expected to follow within, whether it's in bathrooms or boardrooms or with our body, right? So it's like that bigger question of, what are the rules that we're following that you don't actually agree with or belong to, and you're just doing it because it's what society has you supposed to be doing?
But I think it's also about understanding the why or the method behind this, because it also makes me think about the story of how, you know, when we're making our honey baked ham, how we cut off the butt of the ham. So the story goes something like, it was a wife and she was cutting off the butt of the ham to put in her pan to, you know, bake. And her husband's like, well, why do you cut the butt of the ham off? And she was just like, I don't know, my mom did it. And she was like, let me ask my mom why we cut the butt off the butt all the ham off. And her mom was just like, oh, I don't know, my mom did it. And so when she asked her mom, she was just like, oh, we used to do that a long time ago because the ham, the pans back in those days were very small. So we had to cut the butt off in order for the ham to fit in the pan. But here they are centuries later still doing that because, oh, my mom did. I watched my mom do it. So now I'm doing it. But understanding the why, sometimes we don't dig in to figure out why was this creator or why is this belief or thought pattern here. So I'm all in to tell me why. Why are we
Yeah.
doing this?
And I think that goes to the thought of allowing us to have agency over how we move with that why, right? It's like if I now know the why is because it could really mess up your sewage system and this happens and this happens and blah, 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 then I'm more likely to agree with the societal norm versus. So it's like I like your lens on it because it still pushes the fact of like having us understand why are we moving the way we're moving. We have agency, we have sovereignty. We could be asking, do I actually agree with this? Did you forget that you have an opportunity to agree or disagree with a societal norm or not? So yeah, I appreciate that. And I also think lineage and understanding what happens. You know, I'm about ancestry. So talking to the ancestors and understanding why you did a thing is always important, in my opinion.
That was a good question, though, because napkin, no, I'm still wipes. That's what I was trying to come up with, the wipes, because you know you have flushable wipes and non-flushable wipes, but honey pots, they're so good and they kept
They
me
are.
fresh and clean. And let me tell you, I like Sister Honey Pot, okay? Because she made them for us and for our little kitty cat down there, honey. And so we don't have no issues and no problems. I ain't have no issues, no problems. So I love Honey Pot. But you know, it say don't flush, but honey pie, I'm sorry, I flushed it all in the Gambia, so I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, Izzy, take it away, boo.
Okay. I was thinking, oh, welcome to the K-pop, the bias breakdown, which is the whole K-pop section that I like to talk about. I was thinking about how much money I've given to K-pop. Ever since I've gotten a job, half of my paycheck somehow ends up in the pockets of different entertainment companies, concert venues, K-pop shops. And I've realized as the progression of me becoming a really big concert fanatic, my thought process on different pricing and tickets have changed. And I want to hear from y'all about when you buy concert tickets as well. So originally, if my concert ticket was over, say, like 75, 120, I wouldn't buy it. That was the max range I would pay for a concert ticket. And now I will proudly say, because I have the financial capacity to do, I've purchased tickets at around $500, So that it just made me think of how much money I've given to K-pop. But what would be the, let's see, what's the most you've ever purchased for a ticket, and who is it for?
I think my highest ticket is for Janet Jackson. And that still wasn't too bad. It was around 245 for Janet Jackson. Yeah, and that's it. I don't see myself going over 300 for
245. What was the seating? Were you barricade, front row? Were you nosebleed?
No, I was in the front middle section. Like not front row, but like coming from front row, like that right there, that middle section, not quite where they separate and you start going up, but I was still kind of in the front, but right in the middle. It was a really good seating, but the thing is, you still can't see the stage too well. At least I can't. I still rely on the monitors or whatever you call those, the screens. I still rely on that to see.
And that's interesting if you pay $245 for it and you still had to rely on a monitor. What about you, Robin Denise?
So this may say, I'm a blessed individual, just as you are. And I just, most of the concerts I've been to have either been free or somebody else got me a ticket. So, like, I saw Janet Jackson because I won radio tickets in high school. Like, that was so
What?
random. I know, it's super random. I was listening to the radio and I got the like top 10 countdown.
What?
So like I don't know, but I've gone to like smaller, like at the Kennedy Center in DC, I've gone to those type of things, and they usually keep their prices pretty low, like underneath 125. I don't think I've paid more than 75 for a really good Kennedy Center concert. And the other thing about this topic, really quickly, is there's a report by God damn it, Last Week Tonight, John Oliver, where he talked about ticket sales for concerts and how Ticketmaster and other third party ticketers are actually buying the tickets from the artists immediately and then uprising the price, skyrocketing it. So really the price that you're paying is really going to the Ticketmaster or the ticketer, the third party person, and not necessarily what the price is that the artist has originally put for a ticket. So if you guys want to check out that thing, just type in John Oliver Last Week Tonight ticket sales and something will pop up somewhere. But yeah, that was a really interesting report.
Yeah, I need to look that up because it made me think. I'm seeing this group called P1 Harmony, and I saw them last year, and my ticket was around $75 for a really good seat. Now I'm seeing them again in October, and their ticket's just, I bought the ticket yesterday, and it was $150 for about a good seat. But at the same time, I'm thinking, it's like, how did we jump in those ticket prices? It's been a year and a couple months since I saw you. You're in the same arena.
Right. And sometimes it's not the artist.
It can't be, because I know Kehoe wouldn't do me like that. Like, what? It can't
And
be.
also, you know what? I caught in that all three of us and those listeners, that you guys get some either super good discounts, that universe, Lord Jesus, creator God, sprinkle on you some free tickets from somebody, that we just get blessed to be going to these things without paying all this
All
money.
this money. And my hope is I just work, I'll be an entertainment lawyer, and they'd be like, oh my God, you did such a great job. Here's front row VIP, sound booth, sound check, stage tickets. Actually get a dinner with them. That's what I want.
Yes, go, Izzy. Yes, go.
But I placed my order with God. How about what? How do we place our other orders?
Yes. Perfect segue. Thank you. We manifested trying to get these tickets for free, baby. Get them backstage tickets. You know, I already talked about that. So let's get into this next segment called Place Your Order. And this is where we help you manifest your desires, declare your will, and call in what you want, call in what your spirit needs to heal and be whole. And so in this week's Place Your Order, we are digging into the power of satisfaction during your waiting period. When we are satisfied with how things are happening in our life, having that gratitude for what we already have, it really tells the universe, the world, God, that you are able to hold more, right? Like, think about the little kid who is always wanting more toys, but they're not playing with the ones they got. They're not excited about the ones that they've had for however long. The parent is like, "You ain't even playing with these toys. Why would I get you some more?" You've heard that. And that's really what it comes down to. We're asking for things, but how satisfied are we in our day-to-day, what's happening before the manifestation arrives? Because when we practice satisfaction, is that a word? Satisfaction, that's what I'm looking for.
You can create a word. It's okay. All you got to do is just add it to Wikipedia. It's there. It's
Right. That's what they do with Bootylicious.
I know. That's fine. We in that day and time now. Go ahead. Webster won't be upset. He did.
Oh man. But yeah, when you move in satisfaction, when the thing that you've manifested arrives, you see it clearer too, because you've been practicing gratitude and feeling satisfied with what you have. You are more aware of the blessings that are really floating around you. And I understand that sometimes life can feel so dismal and dark, and depression can be there. And it's not saying that we need to go from a sad or depressive state into like, yeah, everything's great. My life is amazing. No, it's really about finding the frequency that's slightly above whatever frequency we're feeling. So if we're in a state of dissatisfaction and not feeling good about something, taking a moment to say, all right, what in this day actually did go well? Let me focus upon that. What did I like to eat today? Like, what, finding the small things that does provide satisfaction and shifts our energy towards a more positive one. Because when that begins to happen, blessings start pouring in and we actually see them, we experience them. Yeah. I would love to hear what you feeling and thinking about that, Nakisha.
I have to completely agree, and I can even make this even more personal because one of the things my sweetheart was—I mean, we both are devastated that like we're separated right now, and he kind of just like going into a depression about us not being together right now. And I'm like, we just spend the most miraculous, blissful time together. And if you stay in that energy and you're not happy for what you have, I haven't gone anywhere. I'm just on another continent. Crazy, right? But you stay in that energy, you'll go lower and lower and lower until you hit a full-blown depression. And then what starts to happen is you start blocking the good. You start blocking
Right.
additional blessings. You start blocking what's lined up. So if you don't get your butt up and go to work and go do the things makes you feel good, you better, because then you're gonna start messing with my blessings. Stop. Get
Right.
up and go. So I hear what you're saying is you have to find that place of balance. It's bliss and balance. Until you get to where you're trying to get to or manifest, you still have to enjoy where you are. And that is being a good steward over what you have. And then you add more is added to you. So I completely agree. I told him, get yourself up and go to work and stop all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's like the power of our man. Okay, in reverse. The power of satisfaction is rooted within our emotions, and our manifestations come from the power of our emotions. When we emote and feel desire or happiness or all of these things connected to something we are working to manifest, it draws it closer. And so when we are in a state of satisfaction, our emotion, what we are emoting and putting out into the world is, I am happy. I am joyful. I am, even if it's not happy and joyful, I am content. I am satisfied. And when I'm thinking about like that moment of you and your honey, there's satisfaction in being able to talk to you, right? There's satisfaction in hearing my partner tell me, yo, you got this. Get up and go to work. Stop all of this. You know, like giving that pep talk. There's satisfaction in there. And a lot of times I think we focus on the absence of what we want. And that takes us on the other end of the stick, which is dissatisfaction. But that's not where our blessings reside. That's not where our manifestations are. Our manifestations are on the other side of the stick, which is satisfaction and joy. And we can't wait for the thing to come to then be satisfied.
I like that. And you use the word emote with emotions, but you also look at the second part of that, what is motion? What's in motion? What energy, what feelings, what thought patterns, what do you have in motion? And if that's not the direction you want to go in, you have definitely got to do what we call the stop, which is stop, take a step back, observe. So basically think about what you're thinking about and then do the pivot. And the pivot is in the best direction that will get you again back on that track to manifesting what you desire and you know that you deserve and what's already yours. It's just traveling between time. And I think I also remember there's a scripture or something where Daniel prayed and for 21 days he fasted and all this stuff. And then when Archangel Michael showed up, he was like, look, we heard you the first day you prayed, but I was caught up. I had to fight and battle other principalities before I could get to you. So we just have to remember there's other things that have to be synchronized and go into play while you're waiting. So while you wait, make it the best that you can.
Right. And experience as much happiness, ease, and joy and satisfaction really as you can in the waiting period. Because that's the thing that I think so many of us are missing. We don't have to have the manifestation to be in a place of good feeling emotions, really satisfaction. So yeah, that's the place your order for today, y'all. Be satisfied with what you are.
Order. That is so good. That just leads us right into the heartbeat of this show of bounce back behavior. And I just want to read you guys a little something that it really hit me in my spirit this week because I believe this wholeheartedly. And I actually saw a meme, or you know, or I guess you call them a meme or something, a post about it, and I was like, oh yes, I want to talk about this. So listen to this. We don't heal first and love later. We heal in love, through love, around love, in the presence of people who are safe enough, stable enough, willing enough to walk with us through the hard stuff. And that's going to be our assignment today. So it's so delicious. Let me just read it one more time. We don't heal first and love later. We heal in love. I feel like Iyanla Van Sant. I'm channeling Iyanla. We heal in love, through love, around love, in the presence of people who are safe enough, stable enough, willing enough to walk with us through the hard stuff. So I feel like let me just say this. I was talking to one of my line sisters, and she was, you know, she's getting out of a relationship that has taken its course. And then I was like, girl, well, what do you want? What are you looking for? Let me help you. You know, I'm just in love with love. And she was just like, no, I gotta heal. Don't I gotta heal first? Don't I need to do this? Don't I need to do all, you know, all of this stuff that society tells you
is the next step. After you get out of a relationship, now you got to go heal. So every time I have a disappointing relationship, I need to go heal. So I don't subscribe to that because I really feel like healing is about the absence of love. What you need is to go find love so that you can help yourself heal or have that, not have that, that gap between what you think you should be doing versus what you really want. And so it sounds noble, but to me, it's rooted in shame and self-isolation. Because what I really see people doing is they start to isolate and they start to feel like they're not good enough. And they start to feel like they got so much work to do for themselves. But here's the thing. But as soon as somebody new shows up, and I'm not just talking about romantic love, I'm talking about, you know, it could be a work relationship, it can be anybody. But as soon as someone new shows up and it's a difficult relationship again, you still haven't learned anything. Now you got to stop that and go heal again. That's not really what really happens. What's happening is something that you're not aware of that's showing up, and you got to figure out what the lesson is. And the only way you really truly learn lessons is with other people. That's why relationships are sometimes so challenging, is because you don't get to really learn by yourself. People are so healed. I had a client a long time ago. She was like, girl, I healed myself. I was doing good. I was healed for 5 years. And then I get in this relationship and now I got to go heal again. And I was just like, how do you ever learn if you're not in a relationship? It's easy to do that work by yourself, but you don't know that you're healed or not, or full of love and able to receive love until you get with somebody else. So the answer is not isolation. I do understand solitude. That's what we need to understand. Isolation and solitude are two different things. Isolation leads, it's like I said, the shame and you trying to, you know, figure out what you did wrong and you're not good enough. And why did the universe disrespect you and send you somebody like that? Why didn't you see it? Why do you keep getting men like your daddy and or whatever? It goes into that and it doesn't make you feel any better and you don't grow. But solitude is usually has a plan. It has a time. It says, I am going to sit with myself, but I'm going to rejuvenate. I'm going to go swimming. I'm going to go do these things that are going to fill me up. And I'm going to reflect on how I could have showed up better, or what didn't I do, or what didn't I know? And then possibly I'll get a mentor, possibly I'll talk about it with a therapist, and possibly I just get right back out there and do it again until I can figure it out. So that's where I am. I think it sounds good. I'm going to go heal, but damn, every time you have an argument, just time to go heal like that. No, let's be real. We need each other. That's how you grow. And that's why, like I said, relationships and even intimate relationships, that's why sometimes it's so hard to stay together, because you are not in a safe place that's really someone giving you love. And that's what you need. You need love and safety. And even in my relationship now, I realize I have that love and safety. So you're able to continue to grow and you don't have to feel like, oh, I got to go isolate and heal again. You need love and safety, not I need to go heal on my own again. What do you think, Izzy and Robert?
Izzy, take it away.
I think, let me see, very tea. I definitely, that would hear what Robert Denise has to say.
Not the bounce back to me. Izzy was like, nah, let me bounce this back to Robin Denise. I think so. Last week I was talking about self-love, and I really feel like these two are really walking hand in hand, a great build upon one another, because sometimes we don't even see our level of self-love until we get into a relationship. And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. I'm referring to any type of relating to another being, another human. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't recognize
what are the triggers? What are the traumas? How much love do we actually have for ourselves? How much people pleasing have we grown out of? Like all of those like childhood wounds, that type of stuff. Like you're saying, we don't always come up against it if we aren't in relating to another person. Mm-hmm. And so that is a very important part of healing. And I think the biggest piece about the relating to a person is having the foundation of love. Mm-hmm. Knowing that as you're moving in the relating to another person is, are you moving from a place of love for yourself, a place of love for them? You know, like what are the motivations on how you are interacting with another person? Mm-hmm. And it can, yeah, that's about it. That's where I'm going to stop. I feel like there's something else, but I'm going to stop there.
You said good, because two things I want to hit on what you're saying. Okay. So with self-love, here's the thing. So sometimes, and I hear this with these so-called gurus out here talking about love and helping people get relationship. The first time that, you know, the women, I'm just going to talk about women because I'm a woman, right? They say, you know, this happened and then I finally left. And then they say, girl, you need to go learn to love yourself. And what about your self-love allowed you to go through that or whatever? And here's what people don't understand, especially when they don't have the clinical piece to this. We have parts to us. There is a part, and I'm just look, if you look at it like a heart, there's parts to your heart. There is a self-love component to your heart. There is a relational love, you know, within your heart. There is occupation. There is, I know you like the skate, Robin Denise. There's different love parts, components that make up your heart. So if the self, it doesn't mean that the self-love is not there. It just can mean that the other components is lacking. The other part to that is sometimes we don't even recognize what love is. So when we get in a relationship, my meaning and my definition of love and what it looks like can look different from what the other person is displaying or has the capacity to give. So in beginning a relationship, everybody got to get in alignment. You can't be swept off your feet by the feeling, the chemistry. You got to get in alignment. You got to check things first. What's love to you? Well, what's love to me? This is how I show it. This is how I show it. You know, you can talk about the five love languages and all that stuff. So you got to get in alignment of what that means. And then oftentimes when we're troubled in our relationships, it's usually around a lack of boundaries or values. We are not even aware of what our value system is until we get with another person. And then we realize, oh, well, I value this and this person doesn't value that. So it doesn't necessarily mean that your self-love is low or being attacked. It just means sometimes you don't know what your values are. Sometimes you don't know what your boundaries are. What I'm also finding out is people don't understand when they put a boundary in place that they don't even know how to put a consequence to follow the boundary. So now the answer is, let's just break up. No, the answer is, let's do the consequence part. Let me let you know if this is how I roll. If you can't accept this, then this happens. So everything is not about a breakup or, you know, I got to go in isolation so I can heal, so that I can pick the right partner or pick the right job. You just got to get familiar with all the parts of you, your value system, your boundary system, what makes you tick, what makes you glow, what makes you excited, and then be able to articulate that and get on one accord with someone else. And then the most powerful thing that I've learned right now is whatever you put out, you're expecting to receive. That's safety. And when that's not there, that's time for a conversation. That's time for, okay, I don't feel like my value system is being protected. So those are the bigger things. And so when people feel like, oh, I went through this relationship and now it's over. And sometimes relationships need to be over because they were only for a certain amount of time. So this other thought that we have that relationship should last forever and ever and ever. No, nothing lasts forever and ever and ever. We dying, period. As much as I don't like to talk about it, we dying. Ain't nothing lasting forever, forever and ever. So we have to just get in that mindset that, okay, this didn't work out. Doesn't necessarily mean I need to go and isolate, which leads to depression and me feeling low and me being a scared to try again. It means something in the communication system, something in the belief, something in the value system didn't click. It didn't work or is no longer working. And I need to work on that. And you do.
And I think
on solitude.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say that solitude helps us understand what we want. What are those boundaries? What love means to us, the value system, the consequences, how we reinforce them. That's what the solitude is there for. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when people get into relationships, they get so love struck that they lose the solitude, that they do not put aside time for solitude so that they can have those moments to say, oh, wait, this actually, there was a trigger that happened when I had this conversation with XYZ. Let me sit in solitude and understand what this is and then bring it up in conversation, have a dialogue about what this is. So I think the solitude, not isolation, I really appreciate that distinguishing terminology, is really important to have, to utilize. But if you don't know how to be in solitude and ask yourself the why questions and sit with your own giving grace to yourself to come to it, then are you even ready to be in any type of relating? I mean, that could be another topic for another day, but that's mm-hmm. what I just want to say.
But also in solitude, again, that's when you get your therapist. That's when you go to your retreats, your retreats to help you reflect. Because everybody is not a lone solitude person. Mm-hmm. Everybody's not like built like that. We're all built differently. So that's the time where you get someone, get those guides, those gurus, those spiritual baddies in your life to support you and be that guide out of darkness. I call it the guide out of darkness, the real meaning of God, guide out of darkness. You need a guide out of darkness. Because sometimes it does feel dark when, you know, relationships end, whatever types of relationships. But give yourself permission to exhale and know that you are lovable right now in this moment. And your healing will be stronger in community than it can ever be in what we call isolation. Okay. Isolation, if you think about it, it's like putting yourself in timeout or a punishment. Okay. It's not that. It's solitude. But in solitude, it can look very different. Izzy, let's lighten it up.
I like to talk about just everything. That was tea for me. Y'all did great. Let's see. Let's see. You guys want to hear the word of the day?
Okay.
The word of the day. Would you guys like to learn a new language?
New language. CC.
Okay. I think the word, it's a phrase, actually. So you're saying a whole sentence. If you're saying this to some Korean person, they're going to be like, oh, okay. It's 하루 수 있어요. 하루 수 있어요.
Oh. 하루 수 있어요.
하루 수
Yo.
And what does it mean?
I can do it.
Oh, I can do it. Oh, okay. Like, no, thank you. I can do it.
Something I can
like
do that. It.
Oh, okay. I can do it.
So,
something you're doing with your tongue. Your hair. I'm hearing all.
Like, think of it in romanization would be H-A-L, hi, su, S-U, E, so, S-O, yo, yo.
Oh, okay. Okay, so say it again.
하루 수 있어요.
하루 수 있어요.
Oh, yikes.
Yikes. Okay, you butchered that. Let's move on to the next
that
part.
That was like blood all over the floor okay. Right there.
Say it in Korean. I mean, say how you would normally say it.
하루 수 있어요.
Oh, you just say it so naturally.
Oh, the harshly soil.
Okay, go ahead, Rhonda Denise.
Okay, so the Thai word of today is Hongnam. Hongnam.
Hongnam.
Yes, Hung Nam means bathroom. So when you like I need to.
Hung Nam. I can say that one. Hung Nam.
Hung Nam. Hung Nam. How do you say where is the bathroom?
Just say bathroom. They'll know.
She said you're doing too much. Just say bathroom. They know what you mean.
Say bathroom.
All right. So we went to Korea. We then went to Thailand. Now we are going to the Gambia, the Mandinka people. So as we are learning our language today, we're going to learn how to say, how is the family? But basically it's saying, how are you doing? And it's sumole, sumole.
Sumole.
Yeah.
Sumole. I like that.
Sumole. And next week we'll learn how to answer that. But it's sumole. And I felt so good going around being able to say sumole. They would smile like, ah. Yeah. I felt really, really good. So listen. As we close, I want to remind each of you listening week after week. And Robin Denise, thank you so much for the solo weeks when me and Izzy been running around and going from place to place. Thank you for holding us down and delivering amazing content. You don't have to heal alone. You are allowed to be held. You are worthy of gentle love, soft landings, and some solid people. And we are here to be just that for you. You ready to do some work? You want to take some solitude and you need someone to be your guide out of darkness? I'm here for you. Check me out on Instagram at The Ready Woman, The Ready Woman. Also, I'm on Facebook as my name, Nakisha Michelle Key. So hit me, send me a message at The Ready Woman. Get slide into my DM, however y'all say that. I'm available to you. Robin Denise?
You know what, y'all? I want you to remember that you are love. You are the embodiment of love. You are loved by not just me, but so many others. And that I am always rooting for you in any way that you need additional support. You can find and connect with me on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Robin Denise 1222. And come check out my website because I got some things going on over there too. Oh, I meant to mention my 7-day meditation soul awakening challenge is going on. We are in the middle of it, and it's been really delicious to have these energetically aligned meditations supporting and healing and grounding us into our bodies. So shout out to those who are doing that challenge with me. It is a free challenge. And that's all. I just love y'all. Mwah!
I like to leave y'all with, let's see, to know that you're doing better than you may think, and to always let love in and let it walk with you because you got this. This is Izzy. You can find me at any social at Izzy Key. That's IZZYKEE. And I'm always open to a DM. About, especially if you're talking about K-pop. So let's get it.
All right. And until we meet or speak, hug yourself for me. We'll see you next Tuesday. Ladies, it's time to bounce.
We out.
You're listening to Bounce Back Behavior, the show with Nakisha Michelle and Robin Denise, only on LA Talk Radio.